Colossians chapter 1. I do want to say this, though, before I begin reading, is on another note. I thank God for what He did for us during the revival meeting. And Brother Rackley had said something. He said revival is not something that we should just have one time a year or be looking forward to, you know, when a meeting comes. What the Lord did for us in this meeting, it's up to us as God's people to carry that from service to service. From service to service. That desire for the Lord, that desire to see someone either saved or someone restored to the Lord. That desire to gain help or edification. See, when we come, we need something. All of us. We need something. Amen. Whether it's encouragement or whether it's an answer, whether it's prayer from God's people about a situation. A number of things, but we stand in need of our Heavenly Father every day. And we need something from Him when we come. And so, you know, not letting what God did for us just kind of float down the river as, you know, something we placed in the water and watched it go on by. It was kind of nice while we had it. This is something that you and I should strive and hunger and pray that we continue in week by week, month by month. Amen? That we could go from strength to strength, as the psalmist said. And, you know, I don't want to get cold so that I need to get warmed up again. That makes sense. And you know, you don't want to get lukewarm so that, or just kind of stagnant so that you have to be stirred. And now we need stirred and continually stirred. Amen. When the Bible said, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a constant filling. Constantly. Being filled. And I like what Brother Milton Taylor said. We need to be filled so much because we leak so much. Amen. Amen. And I've found that to be true. But God bless you. Church, God did some great things for us, and so let's really take that to heart and don't take it for granted. Take it to heart and don't take it for granted. All right, Colossians chapter number 1, and I'll begin reading at verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. And that's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, I want us to go back and look at this chapter and some other ones, but I want to go up just a few verses. And here's what he said in verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel. That's what I want to try, if God would help me for a few minutes to talk about this morning, is the hope of the gospel. The gospel in all that it is. And I realize what time it is, and there's no way that I could give everything this morning, but I thought about this, what the apostle was saying to the Colossians, the gospel that Paul preached, that he's talking about here. It encompassed the whole scope of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Everything about Him, I mean, from His creation to the consummation. I mean, from the very beginning all the way to the end, it is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we concentrate most of the time in our churches on what we like to call the central theme of the gospel of Christ. And you say, preacher, what is that? Well, that is when He came, lived a sinless life, bled and died on a cross for our sin, and was buried and rose again the third day that you and I might be saved. That is the very central core focus of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's a lot more to the gospel. To the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the good news of His person. Amen. The good news of Christ Himself. And we read right here in your hearing about the very creation, of the very beginning, and about our salvation. It seems like from verse number 12 all the way to verse number 20, we have what appears to be a great representation of the gospel as a whole, from beginning to end. Again, from creation to consummation. I mean, he talked about that He is before all things. Verse 17. He is before all things. I mean, before anything was made, He was. Amen? And by Him all things consist. He is the Creator. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And that's part of the gospel. Listen, I believe it's just as important to believe that He is the Creator as it is to believe that He is Savior. And not only that He's Creator and that He's Savior, but that He is King of Kings. Amen. There's going to be a day God is going to make every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Amen. That's the gospel of Christ, beginning to end. Amen. I mean, the Creator, when you talk about that God created us, listen, we wouldn't even be with it not for Christ. Amen. That's the good news of Him as Creator, that He made us. Isn't it good to know where you come from? Amen. It's good to know. I mean, to know. That when all these guys that are so smart, they become fools. Amen? Trying to sell lies and to sell more lies and make it sound very, very intelligent and beyond normal man's comprehension. I tell you what's not beyond normal man's comprehension is just to tell him there's a God that's before all things, that made us in His image, that made all things in the beginning. Amen. That's pretty simple to understand. That's right. And friend, I mean, listen, that's a lot easier to understand than some of the things they're peddling today. And so, listen, He talked about all of this in verse number 12 through about verse number 20. You can study this out and look at it for yourself. You can see all of it from beginning to end. Amen? And but look at how the Apostle Paul referenced this in verse number 5 even. He called it the word of the truth of the gospel. The word of the truth of the gospel. I mean, listen, there's a lot of people that are trying to give other gospels, which the apostle said, they're not another. They're not another. They try to give another, but it's not another. Amen? It's deceiving people. The Apostle Paul went on to let them know. But this is the word of the truth of the gospel. It was important that Paul let his readers know and those that would hear his message that what he was stating, what he was saying about Christ, it was the very truth of it all. The truth from beginning to end. I mean, people, you know, sometimes they'll challenge the Bible. Well, how do we know? How do we know? You know, we don't have physical evidence. Well, it takes faith to believe in God. Amen? Amen. Amen. I heard a guy the other day, he said this. He said, all right. He said, man's built a computer. Man, in his wisdom, he's built a computer. He said, now you take just the computer, and you try to prove that man built it. You can't do it. There's nothing in that would show anything about him. Nothing there. Are you listening to me? But listen, God has created all things, and you look around at everything and see that God is the Creator of it. Amen. The Bible makes it clear, very clear, that, I mean, the creation, you can see God in it. Amen. Everything. I was looking at the oak trees just the other day. I was out with my family, and a lot of those acorns that come down, they come down in these wads of three. I thought, my goodness, look at that. I mean, you can see the Trinity in everything you look at. Yeah. Amen? I mean, even the acorn, now some of them were in two, but the bigger one, they were in three. They were all in three. Amen? And I tell you, I just like to have myself a spell out there looking at them acorn trees and those oak trees. To think of it, that God put His design in everything. He made us in His own image. Hey, that's intelligent design, friend. Is that God left trails for you and I to be able to see clearly that God is the creator of all things. Oh, yes. Listen, Paul wanted us to know. Now, this great, as some men write, Christological passage from 12 to 23. It's the wisdom or the logic of Christ. Talks about Christ and who He is, His person. That's the Christological passage. That's what they're talking about. It talks about Christ as His person from beginning to end. And so we see that. And here Paul introduces it and concludes it by calling it all the gospel. Just the gospel. Did you know that the creation in the beginning, that God created the heaven and the earth, is the gospel? Not just Christ coming and dying is the gospel, but the very creation itself is the gospel. The kingdom to come is the gospel. It's the good news of Christ. Amen. It's the good news of Him and who He is. Now I want us to look at a couple of other things that I want you to see this morning about the gospel. And I love these verses. I love what we've read. I mean, just what we've read. I could take and preach it all this morning. I mean, how that He made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. I mean, that ought to put me and you doing cartwheels, amen? That God made us meet. Christ made us meet, amen, to be partakers. You know what makes us meet? Like the woman that was made for the man was meet for him. Well, He's made us meet to be partakers. Amen. He's the one that made us that way. He's the one that made us that way. How did He make us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light? He delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. The power of darkness is nothing less than the kingdom of Satan. And Christ has delivered you and I from the kingdom of Satan to His kingdom. Amen. Oh, yes. To His kingdom. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's how we've been made meet. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God? That's Christ, the firstborn of every creature. And that speaks of His humanity. He came born of a virgin. Amen? He's not talking about God made Him in the beginning. No, He's the one that made all things in the beginning. God didn't make Him. Amen? He's not a brother to Lucifer. Don't believe those lies. Amen. There ain't nothing in the Bible backs any of that up. That's heresy. Amen. That's right. Satan, listen, he was an anointed cherub that did fly above the throne, and he worshiped Christ. Amen. He knew Christ was God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, holy, 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 Lord God, almighty, until he rebelled. Amen. He gave obeisance and worship like all of the angels and all of creation. Amen. He was created by Christ himself. Amen. Don't believe them lies, the lies of the world out here. They lie. Lie like dogs. Amen. Anything trying to give you another gospel, trying to bring up heresy and all kinds of wicked things. Listen, just get in this book. God will let you know about everything. Amen. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is true. You got to make sure you're in the right book. Amen. That's exactly right. I don't care to say it. Amen. The old Textus Receptus, that pure 1611 King James Bible to the English speaking people. It's good. Amen. It's right. It's God's Word. Now, so let's look at this. I want you to see what he said about this in Colossians. Now, he shows us when you talk about the gospel of Christ, this word of the truth of the gospel, amen, this just the gospel itself, we can look back and see the first time that it's mentioned in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter number 4. And Jesus, verse 23 of Matthew 4, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. And healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. This is the first mention of the gospel in the New Testament. And listen, it's very significant. You need to know this, that this beginning of the gospel looks forward to the future kingdom. The very first mention is of the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? The future kingdom. When Christ will finally be acknowledged by the world in all things therein. He's King of Kings. Amen? Now listen, you got to compare this with the final mention of the gospel over in the book of Revelation. The Revelation chapter number 14, look at it. Revelation chapter number 14, it looks back at creation. He said in verse number 6 of Revelation 14, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. The very last mention of the gospel speaks of the gospel of his creation. And the first mention takes you to the gospel of his kingdom from beginning to end, backward and forward. Now listen, when this looks back at the gospel of creation, the gospel of Christ embraces all aspects. You've got to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is past, present, and future. Past creation, present work of redemption, future kingdom. Amen? Oh yeah. Now we look at his substitutionary death of our Creator for our sins, when you look at it that way. Our Creator. That God, our Creator, came and died for our sins. Oh, then you begin to understand where the Bible says that God made himself a body. And that he is the everlasting Father in Isaiah. So you begin to see him, the Word of God acknowledges Him as God, the Creator of all things. Amen? The Trinity, the three in one. Very difficult for men of my intellect to explain. But they are one. There's one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. One God in three persons. When you try to figure out God in the carnal mind, you're not going to be able to do it. Carnal mind, it cannot understand the things of God. It's at enmity against God. It cannot comprehend that. Amen? But He, in His work, came. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Amen? So this gospel, listen, and it focuses on the past, the present, the future. When we look at His great work from creation to consummation, then we see the central focus in the middle. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, this is said to be the defining gospel, the defining central gospel. That by this, right here, man could believe, be saved. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Amen. Do you know that this occurrence of the gospel is the middle, right here, in 1 Corinthians 15, I think I've said it before, is the middle of 105 times where the Greek word Agalon or something like that. It's talking about His gospel is related, or His related words in the New Testament. This is the very center passage where it talks about it. And it's talking about the central gospel. His dying and bleeding, us believing on what He done for us to be saved. His being buried and rose again. A center passage of the gospel talking about the central gospel. That's pretty good, ain't it? Amen? Now listen, it's 52 times before and 52 times after. The central focus of the gospel, it deals with the death and the resurrection of Christ for our sins and our salvation. Again, we see that, and we see that as our core belief. But you've got to realize, listen, it's just as important to believe this man is the Creator in the beginning and the King coming. Amen? From eternity to eternity. From eternity to eternity. Oh my. I'm about done. I cannot stress to you enough. when you read this. I mean, right from the beginning of Colossians. Pulled my little sheet out. There it is. It speaks of his preeminent redemption, that in all things he might have the preeminence. It speaks of his preeminence in the church. It speaks of him doing what he did in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now here now this is Colossians 1:22. It'll be a good new verse that you fell in love with. When Christ looked at that woman that they brought to him, caught in adultery, she was guilty in his eyes. The rest of them, they couldn't even pick up a stone. They had to leave because they was as guilty as she was. But he could have. She was a sinner. But do you know what? By the time he got done talking with her, presented himself as Savior, she was holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You ever known somebody real close? I mean, you know more about them than anybody. Everybody else looks at them and, you know, may think that they're best thing since peanut butter, but when you look at them, you know. You know their guilt. But you know, Christ don't look at us that way. When God sees us through Christ, he sees us sinless, spotless, white garments. And when Christ looks at us, you know what he sees? Sinless, spotless, white garments. Why? Because of his redemptive work. To take our sins and do away with them. I mean, do away. To never be remembered, brought up, never an accusation. What a Savior. To remove that much from us. To remove it to that point. That's the good news of the gospel. That our Creator, the way he made us in the beginning and wanted it in the beginning, came and redeemed us to bring us to the place like we were in the beginning. There's something else I was going to give you, but I think I've lost my place. Maybe the Lord will let us bring it back again tonight. But I'll tell you what Christ has done in his gospel, this everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel. The gospel, the truth of the gospel. Boy, I like that. The truth of what he did for us. How he loved us. Boy, it just don't get no better than that. Amen. I want you to stand this morning.